With me. O God of the universe, we thank you for your many gifts, for the beauty of creation and its rich and varied fruits, for clean water and fresh air, for food and shelter, animals and plants. Forgive us, O God, for the times that we have taken the earth's resources for granted and wasted what you've given us. Transform our hearts and our minds so that we would learn to care and share, to touch the earth with gentleness and with love, respecting all living things. We pray for all of those who suffer because of our waste and greed and indifference. And we pray that the day would come, O God, when everyone has enough food and clean water. Help us to respect the rights of all people and all species, and help us to willingly share your gifts today and always. O God, we especially remember today those who are sick around our world, those who are alone and afraid. And we pray, O God, that you would be with them in a special way. Thank you for those who give them care. And we pray that they might be agents of your love and healing. Remind us each and every day, O God, that our hope and our faith and our trust is in you. For you, O God, our Savior and Redeemer and Lord. Amen. September the 11th, 2001. That's all I have to say, because whether you were alive then or if you were born after that, you no doubt know what happened on that day when the world shifted. A day when our country's sense of safety and security was shattered. I was in Washington, D.C. at that time, and what I saw happen over the next few days was both shocking and inspiring. On the one hand, within what seemed like minutes, the city became a military fortress with tanks and helicopters and soldiers bearing arms on every street corner. On the other hand, I saw incredible acts of kindness and courage and love pouring out on those who, once strangers, were now seen and embraced as neighbors and friends. It was an extraordinary time. And that was even more true for me because one of the gifts that I had available to me was time to think. Time to think. I was on sabbatical working on my doctoral dissertation, and I was away from everything, and that offered me time to laser focus my attention on that task. But because I was away when 9/11 occurred, I took the opportunity to stop what I was doing, to think deeply about what was going on, to ponder important questions about how I was going to respond to this seismic event in light of my Christian faith. Not everyone had that chance, but I am incredibly grateful that I did. Because in many ways, it helped me to reset my priorities as I thought about what it was that God was calling me to do with my life in light of what had happened. And I need to say that I believe that we are living in such a time right now, that in many ways, we too are being given the opportunity to think. To think more deeply about the things that matter most to us. To consider how all that is going on now impacts our lives, not only for this moment, but also for the future. How does our faith in God inform us for such a time as this? How will we choose to live this time, in this liminal moment, this space between what was and what will be, in ways that reveal God's resurrection power? Our text this morning from the first chapter of the letter to the Colossians is a hymn in the early church that the author used to remind them of who Christ is and what that means for them. And you know, hymns and songs do that, right? I mean, we just sang, "This is Amazing Grace," and "How Great Thou Art." And songs like these remind us of what it is that we believe. They touch us at a deep place in our souls, and they draw us close to the Holy One. The hymn in our text today does just that, as we see Christ not only through the lens of a particular moment of time, but Christ through the sweeping scope of creation history and cosmos. And so this morning I want to lift up three important themes that this hymn proclaims as we begin to think more deeply about our faith during this liminal space that we are in. Three things that I believe will help us as we make our way into the future in which we now are finding ourselves with hope and confidence and faith. And as we do that, I want to invite you to join me in a prayer as we open ourselves to the Spirit of God, a God who has been proven faithful in the past, a God who is still at work in the present, and a God who is still speaking to us, calling us into a future of hope. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we come before you in the marvelous name of Jesus the Christ, the one who lived on this earth, the one who died and rose again, but also, as the hymn today says, the one who lived even before. We thank you, O God, for all of the ways in which you show up in our world and in our lives. And we pray as we continue to unpack words of Scripture that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So let's look again at Colossians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament. If you're looking in your own Bibles, it's in the letters section in the Bible, where the hymn about Jesus Christ begins with these words: "The Son is the image of the invisible God." In other words, if you and I want to know God, if we really want to know the essence of who God is and what God does and how God shows up in the world, this hymn reminds us to look at Jesus. Because what we see in Jesus, what we learn about him that has become the very essence and the foundation of the Christian faith, is that first and foremost, God is love. That God loves us even when we've screwed up. That because God is love, God is forgiving and continues to reach out to us for relationship, even if that means God has to suffer for it. We have a God who loves us, and that's important for us to remember during this time. God is not against us. God is not punishing us with disease. No, that is not what God is about. God is for us. And what we know from Jesus is that God wants to enter into our suffering, whatever that is, to be with us and to show us a deeper relationship than you and I might have ever known before that is available to us right now. Second part of the hymn that I'd like to lift up is found in verse 17, which reads, "He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus, the hymn says, not only lived at a particular time and place in human history, he was present and participated in the very act of creation itself, in the very beginning. And because of that, Jesus is the one who holds everything together. He is the one who holds us together. Think of a wheel. A wheel is something that's designed to do what? It's designed to move from one place to another. And so, what is a wheel composed of? Well, you have the rim and you have the spokes and a hub that makes that happen. And each one of these things plays a part in getting the wheel to move from one place to another. But it's the hub at the center that holds it all together. That, the hymn says, is what Christ does. He is the hub. He is the center that holds all of creation together. And why is that important for us to think deeply about and to incorporate into our lives right now? Well, as you and I intentionally allow Christ to become more and more at the center of our lives and our relationships and our decision-making, then we will find that sense of wholeness and purpose and direction and peace. That we need to make it through this liminal space as we wait on what comes next. And as we do, to know that it will be well with our souls. When wondering how it is that we're going to make it, when wondering about when this storm that we are going through is going to finally pass, remember that one present at the very beginning of creation has the power and the authority to hold all things together. That's who Jesus is. The third part of the hymn that comes in verse 20 says, "Through him God was pleased to reconcile to Christ all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Through Jesus' suffering, through his death, and through his resurrection, God entered the world in order to bring things back into alignment, to reconcile, to make peace with all people and all things. And though this happened 2,000 years ago, God continues that work of reconciliation, of bringing the creation to peace with God and with each other, even now. So why do I believe that these three things about Jesus are so important for us to know and to think about during this time of upheaval and disruption, not only in our personal lives, but for the entire planet? And why is thinking deeply about what this hymn has to say to us about the character of God as love, about Jesus' power to hold all things together, and the reconciliation of all things in bringing peace and alignment, why is this so important for us right now? Well, first, I don't have to make any argument with anybody that we are being challenged at this very moment. Amen? Amen. You and I are being challenged to get crystal clear about what it is that we really believe in the midst of this mess that we and the entire world are in right now. This is the time when the rubber meets the road. This is where we come face to face with what we really believe. One of the silver linings of this period of disruption is that for many of us, we do have the choice now about how we spend our time. Some of us have opted to engage in various activities of distraction from reality of the moment, binge watching our favorite TV series, playing video games, or maybe some other kind of mindless activity. And please hear me when I say no judgment there, because we all need a little bit of distraction. Still others of us are picking up new hobbies, baking, cooking, gardening, painting. Others are trying to cope with additional responsibilities that sheltering in place with your family requires, which is absolutely exhausting and overwhelming. Many of us are spending an inordinate amount of time watching breaking news with an increasing sense of dread and anxiety as the death toll mounts and the unemployment rates surge. But for those of you who are watching right now, you have made the decision that your relationship with God is important enough to be here. And that is something this morning that we can acknowledge and certainly celebrate. And here's a question. How else are you allowing your faith in God to inform your thinking as well as your doing right now? Later in Colossians 3, it says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth." set your mind on things that are above. Pay attention to your mindset. Mindset, that's not a New Age phenomenon, friends. It is not about being so heavenly minded either that we are no earthly good. No, following the way of Jesus is more than just having a religious experience at one time or engaging in meaningless ritual. It involves a mindset, a change in what you and I value and what motivates us to act. You see, to know who God is through the image that is presented to us in Jesus gives us the assurance that even in this time, even during this pandemic with its physical and fiscal and emotional consequence, that it is God's intention, God's desire, God's will for you to have a life that is more. Even now, Jesus showed us that there is an alternative life available. There is a life with a capital L. And it's not just life reserved for the sweet by and by sometime after we die. Instead, it is a life that is available to you and me right now, and especially now. A life full of love and grace and acceptance. A life that is full of hope. How can this be? How can this kind of life be experienced in the midst of COVID-19? How can this kind of life be experienced in the midst of death and suffering and job loss and a plague of anxiety and fear? Beloved, hear the good news. In the midst of this liminal space we are finding ourselves in, there are already glimpses of transformation. From firefighters and nurses and doctors and healthcare professionals and scientists that are putting their fears aside for the sake of the sick, showing us the courageous compassion that is a mark of God's Spirit in the world, we say, thank you, God. For workers and teachers and farmers and manufacturers and grocery workers and delivery persons who are working hard to make sure that we receive education and the essentials that we need. Thanks be to God. For city and state and national servant leaders who aren't concerned about political parties, but rather are seeking God's wisdom and strength to stand for those who have no voice as we make our way through this crisis and beyond. Thanks be to God. For our church and so many other faith communities and partner organizations who are reaching out to meet the needs of those on the margins through food ministries and assistance and support and sharing resources with generosity and the creativity that God gives. Thanks be to God. For the earth that itself is responding, skies that are clearing from pollution, rivers and streams that are clearing too, all of creation refusing to ignore this liminal moment of transformation. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Earth Day this week, all of creation is singing a hymn of praise to God. Brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of a great reset. Now, how we come to understand that reset depends on how we think. And how we see and how we hear, and then, of course, what we do. So hear the good news. God is love and is with you no matter what. Because Jesus holds all things together, we know that we can trust in him even in the midst of this pandemic. And through Christ, God has and God still will reconcile the entire creation, realigning the world once again with peace. Think on these things. Set your mind on the things above. Last night, you might have watched the program One World Together at Home. If not, I hope that you will take some time to watch it and the wonderful artists who shared their hymns and songs to help us gather in faith, hope, and love to see us through this time. That's a function that the artists and performers around our world offer us. The last song of the evening, sung by Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli, Lady Gaga, and John Legend, was The Prayer. And I want to close with the lyrics. I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go, and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. I pray we'll find your light and hold in our hearts. When stars go out each night, let this be our prayer. When shadows fill our day, lead us to a place, guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be safe. We ask that life be kind and watch us from above. We hope each soul will find another soul to love. Let this be our prayer. Let this be our prayer. Just like every child, need to find a place. Guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be safe. Amen and amen. We are in a liminal time, a time between what was and what will be, a time that God is giving us to think deeply about the things that matter most. Today, I want to challenge us to consider digging deeper into our faith, to know that as we do, God will be with us, loving us, being our center, and reconciling and giving us peace. While we sing our song of invitation, I'd like to invite all of you to consider that for yourself and be faithful to what God is calling you to do. Amen.